We'd like to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here. And Les, thank you for sharing. I was made to think that it would almost be nice if you could, on the map back there, put a mark where the earthquake was. That way we can get an idea where it was, because we already have the orphanage marked. It'd be nice to know that. So, and I was reminiscing a little bit when you were talking about our experience with the assault rifles and stuff like that. I'm thankful it didn't bother me as much as it did you, even though I don't want you to, I wish you could get some good night's sleep. But I am older than you, so that's a joke between us. Anyway, I also would like to thank the trustees for the super job. I came in and I saw this tree missing, and it really changed the looks, but it's like, wow, it's nice. And we don't have any sun shining through, but I think these windows are cleaner too. So somebody put some elbow grease into everything, and I want to thank them for that. This morning, my mind went to this question: how was your battle this week? I think I asked that a lot. How was your battle? I was made to think. Some people this past week buried their mother, their grandmother, their great-grandmother. I think it was Steve Ebersole's mother passed away, is that right? And they had the funeral, I think, yesterday. There was some people who I know who were expecting twins, and they had a miscarriage. And I think that's a battle. That's something that we aren't expecting. We have people who was already mentioned. You miss flights. You have to deal with flights being canceled, postponed, and all that. And we think about the people that don't have a place to sleep. Their homes are messed up. They're destroyed. And we also think about people who would like to try and get out of a country where they realize evil men are going to be taking over. And then we have people that are just caught up in the pressures of busy, 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 busy. And so the question again: how was your battle? How'd you make it this past week? I thought of it. I'm kind of glad this week has passed. I thought it was somewhat full. Almost every night we had something going, and one morning I got a phone call early, and they had a snake in the house, and they wanted me, it was one of our tenants, and they were freaking out. And I understand, I have learned, that not all women can handle snakes. Most women can't, and this one could not handle a snake. And I got up, went over, and she told me where it was, and sure enough, we found it, we got it, got out, made her morning a better morning. Then a couple hours later, I had another tenant who said his refrigerator quit. Everything's warm, the freezer's soft, and I'm thinking, Lord, what else is going to happen today? But God was good. We survived. We got him another refrigerator. But what I'm saying is, we all face things in life, and the question is, how are we going to face them? How are you going to face this battle? How are you going to face these oppositions? And I'm here to tell you that the way we can face the battle strong is when we have God or Jesus Christ in our lives. And God with Jesus Christ, and with the aid of the Holy Spirit, we'll be fine. But we need to trust him. We need to trust him. I'd like to read a portion of scripture, or I should, before I get to that, my subject this morning is, am I an overcomer? Several months back, this word came to my mind, and I was reading the seven churches in Revelation, and in every one it talks about, and he that overcometh, and he that overcometh. And I got to thinking, well, what's all that involved? What does that mean? And then the beginning of this month, we had the Weaver gathering, and my brother-in-law, Merle Torkelson, shared there at the family gathering, and he talked about the seven churches. And he also talked about a little bit on the overcoming aspect. But he made an interesting observation. He said he feels that the seven churches, the issues in the seven churches, are the same issues that we face today. And the answers are there if we were just humble enough to acknowledge that and say, this is our problem. And he says the answer to all these issues is repent. We need to repent. And I think about that sometimes. We feel sometimes pretty smug in our circles or in our lives. And I think of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. They both said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I think that message is still the same today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that means we have to get ourselves right with God, be right with God, so that we can then, you know, help people see the real kingdom of God in our lives. So, and the way to do that is to be an overcomer. There's some verses here I'd like to read. It's in 1 John chapter 5. And I'd like to just read the first five verses. 1 John chapter 5, the first five verses. And I would like if we would all stand as we read this. Let's all stand for those that can. 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for your love you've shown to us in so many ways. We especially thank you for this freedom that we have, that we can gather together and worship you. And most of all, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for all that he has done for us, for showing us by example how to live, and also for giving us the Holy Spirit and for allowing us to be able to be overcomers for you. Now we pray, Father, that you might bless this message to your glory. We ask you might give me words to say that would penetrate into each person's heart, and that each one of us would examine ourselves and realize that we need you, Father. We pray especially, Father, for Ron and the children in Haiti. We pray you might bless them as they are working with the situations down there. We also pray that you might help the people in Haiti to put you first in their lives as well. And help us, Lord, to wherever we can to be a help to that need. We also pray, Father, for the people in Afghanistan. We ask especially, Father, that you might be with Christians that love you, that you might keep them and protect them or help them to be able to escape somehow. And we know, Father, that we have no idea, we do not understand what trials or terror they have to go through. But Father, we pray that you might help them to be able to be victors for you. Now we pray that you might bless this time together. We ask that your spirit would move among us. And we pray that if there's any evil spirits here, Father, you might cast them out so that you can have free course in our lives. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In this portion of Scripture, I would like to just point out a couple keys of being an overcomer. If you look at verse 1, it says here, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." So if you want to be an overcomer, you have to be born again, verse 1 and verse 4. And if you want to become an overcomer, you have to love God, verse 1 and verse 2. And also, the interesting thing is, you also have to love God's children. You have to love the brethren, or love the brotherhood in verse 2. And also, another key in becoming an overcomer is you have to be a keeper of God's commandments. And that's verse 2 and verse 3. And last of all, in verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So we have to have a faith, a trust, and a belief in Jesus Christ if we want to be an overcomer. I came across an interesting, I like to read it because I think it was well put, and I don't think I can make it better. It says, "Overcomers are followers of Christ who successfully resist the power and temptation of the world system. An overcomer is not sinless, but holds fast to faith in Christ until the end. He does not turn away when times get difficult or become an apostate. Overcoming requires complete dependence upon God for direction, purpose, fulfillment, and strength to follow his plan for our lives." When I saw that, my mind goes back to verses that have been special to me as a teenager. It's Proverbs 3. It says, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." There's a key there. In other words, people fear the Lord, but they don't depart from evil. And if you don't depart from evil, God can't help you. And that's where Satan likes to trip people up and thinking you can go part way, you don't have to go all this way. And that's when we realize that if we don't fully surrender ourselves to God and fully do what he says, God can't help us. It's almost like the brakes are on and you can't keep rolling until you overcome that obstacle. The thing that I appreciate is that God did not leave us without help. If you would turn with me to the next portion I'd like to look at is equipment for overcomers. And that's found in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, this is talking about, I'd like to read these verses. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Notice it says here, wherefore take the whole armor. You can't go into this battle, you can't be an overcomer by having just part of the armor on. It has to be the whole armor so that you can make it. If you don't have the whole armor, you're bound to fail. If you don't have something protecting your feet, you're going to be tripping, or they're going to be going after your feet, and you're going to be stumbling. If you don't have the breastplate to protect your vital organs, you're not going to make it. If you don't have that shield moving against the darts, that shield of faith, knowing that Jesus Christ is everything, having that faith in Jesus, you're not going to make it. The thing that's interesting is most of our equipment that God has given to us is defensive. We only have, basically, he has given us one offensive, and that's the sword. And that's what you can wield, and that is the word of God. It's truth. And you cannot refute truth. And technically, we're living in an era of time where lies are being thrown everywhere. And we have to seek the truth and know the truth, because when we do that, then we can find freedom. A neighbor just last evening told me that, well, some big gathering, I think in Alabama last night, and I think our previous president was there with a speech, and they said that the theme was Save America. When I thought to myself, our previous president cannot save America. Only Jesus Christ can save us. And we have to keep that in focus, or the devil's going to get us stumbling, thinking that this is the answer. It's not. Jesus Christ is our answer. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is going to be the one that we need to trust him, to believe in, so that we can come through this as an overcomer. And God has given us this armor as the ability to be able to overcome these darts, these temptations, etc. And the other thing is, I thought of this, and I wrote it down, and that is, armor is only good when you wear it. In other words, it's not going to do you any good on the shelf. It's not going to do you any good, in a box. You have to put it on. And that's a personal choice that we have to make every day. It's not something that I can do for you either. It's something that you personally have to do. So may God help us use the armor that he has provided. Now, I would like to go to the next phrase or phase of my message, and that is, okay, we have looked at keys, we have looked at the equipment. Now I would like to look at rewards of overcomers. And we find this in Revelation, and I'm not going to read, I have more reading to do later, but I'm going to read the verses of these seven churches, and this is where to the overcomer. And before I get in that, these churches, Jesus is talking to the churches as a group, but these verses, notice how they read. And I'll just, this first one, Revelation 2, verse 7, it says, to him. It's a personal thing. In other words, some people think if they can be a part of a church, they're fine. No, we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ if we're going to be able to come through this. It's not a group mentality. It's a personal, individual response. Okay, verse 7 says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So in other words, we're going to find food. We're going to find life. That's one of the rewards of being an overcomer. Then we go down to verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. We will not die the second death if you are an overcomer. Verse 17. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. We get special privileges. We get this manna. We also get this special stone, which God has given just to those that are overcomers. Then verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. This is the promise that God has given to those of us who will be overcomers, in other words, that obey the truth to the end, not just part way, but to the end. Then in chapter 3, verse 5, so he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in a white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And then in verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And then verse 21 in chapter 3, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. We are going to get the privilege of sitting on a throne as overcomers. But the key is, we have to be keeping his word. We have to be faithful. We have to fight. We're not going to be able to just float along this thing. I mean, they say that dead fish float downstream, but live fish can fight upstream, and we have to fight upstream because we have a lot of people that are floating downstream, and we don't want to be a part of that. So, the interesting thing about the seven churches actually means complete or perfect or a sign of perfection. And I think God wants us to have that understanding that he wants us to be complete and perfect in him. I would like you to sing a song, because I'm going to do another acronym to help you, hopefully help you understand some things. It's a Christian hymnal. It's number 456, 456, and you could sing that a while.
Oh,
Thank you. I'll go over these quickly. But when you're a person who is an overcomer, is optimistic. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-22 speaks of that. But a person, in other words, a person is, they think on positive things. Think on these things. Things are just right. They're just always, they're an upbeat person. A person who is an overcomer is vibrant. Vibrant gives the idea of being lively and active. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are alive. You're not dead. You're not going to be crawling into a corner somewhere, but you're going to be life to other people. You're going to be an asset. And E is an exhorter. In Hebrews 10, it talks about we are here to exhort one another. And what you do with exhorting, you encourage, you admonish, you challenge each other. You want to encourage them to a closer walk with God. That's what exhorting is. So an overcomer is an exhorter. An overcomer is restrained. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's temperate. A restrained person is someone who has self-control. They're someone who is reasonable to work with. They're not somebody who's way left or way right. They're balanced. A person who is an overcomer is contented or content. And says godliness with contentment is great gain. So an overcomer is a person that's going to be content. A person who is an overcomer is open. And that's a person who's honest, who's just going to be, this is the way it is. And a person who is an overcomer is meek. And that's a person who's humble. The being honest and humble are two key factors of God's children. We've mentioned here many times, be honest, be humble, be holy. And I don't know if I can say it often enough, because I think sometimes if we don't say it, we forget it. But I like to make sure you know it. This one is, E is entitled. I don't like that word because we always think of it, people who have our entitled mentality think they deserve all this stuff. But when you're an overcomer, you are entitled to rewards, what we just talked about prior here. And that we are entitled to these rewards if we are faithful, if we are an overcomer. And last of all, an overcomer is resilient. Is that spelled right? I think so. Resilient. That's strong, tough, and hardy. So the question I have to ask you is, are you an overcomer? I would like to read a couple portions of scripture here yet. And Romans 8, there's a couple of verses here that I'm hoping will help you understand better. Having the overcomers have power through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, beginning at verse 34, says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The key verse to this portion is verse 34. It says, "Who is he that condemneth?" Okay, there's four redemptive acts that Jesus has done. First of all, his death. He died, he resurrected, he ascended, and he is now interceding. When Jesus died and rose again, he conquered death. He conquered the greatest thing that we would fear, because something, I mean, most people don't like to look forward to death. It's something, it separates us. We don't know what's beyond, but Jesus has told us what is. And so, by Christ doing these things, it has given us the power and the ability to be able to know that we are in good hands. But we have to have the faith in Jesus Christ, and nothing can separate us. Another portion of scripture is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And it reads like this: "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of the mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, for above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world, also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, the church, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." God is everything. Jesus Christ is everything here. Above all power. And the thing in this verse here, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, which gives us direction, gives us an understanding of what he wants us to do. And that power is only comes through Jesus Christ. Now, Ephesians 3, beginning of verse 13. "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Here again, it talks about giving us the power, giving us the Spirit to be able to have the fullness of God in us. So, victory and power over the devil and the world. And Jesus Christ is the complete overcomer. Now the question we need to ask ourselves: am I an overcomer? Do I have these characteristics in my life? Are they there? Am I optimistic? I mean, we live in a very negative world. A long time ago, I had a message in regards to walking in sin and walking in the sun. And the characteristics of a person who's walking in sin is someone who's selfish, indifferent, and negative. And that's the opposite of being optimistic. And if you're in a negative mode, you better re-examine your relationship with Jesus Christ, because God is our hope. And when God has given us the power to be able to be overcomers, if we do not put this armor on, we're going to fail, bottom line. So my cry to everyone says, may we be overcomers of Satan in the world. My heart is that if we realize how much Satan is trying to tear us down in the world we live in, we better cry out to God and ask him to help us, because we in ourselves cannot do it. We need God to be able to be victors, to be overcomers. And if we are overcomers, we have a lot of great and exciting things that will happen. It's going to be a glorious thing to be with God in heaven in eternity. And Satan would like to deceive us into thinking that it's more important what we see around here. And it doesn't cut it. It won't cut what God has in store for us. But we have to have this walk, this relationship with Jesus Christ, and have and continue to fill ourselves up with the Holy Spirit and his word so that we can be overcomers. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we share your word today, that it would penetrate into our lives. We pray that you might help us to be open and honest before you, and help us to humbly accept your will for our lives. We thank you again for truths of life. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, and we just pray that you might help us all to put you first. For Father, you are everything to us. We need you, and we just pray that you might continue to direct our steps. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.